I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening, Lou. I don't know what you're doing. You're making noises and coming out.
I don't know. Yeah. I was being... hello, Sally. It's just I wasn't quite sure whether you were going to take the lead on this or whether I was just going to watch myself in my camera poking my tongue out at myself. Sorry about that.
I saw that. Now, Lou, you're probably wondering why my hair is slightly curly.
No.
Well, it's fallen a little bit. Well, I went swimming today, that's why.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you had a perm.
No. I went swimming, joined a gym that's got an indoor and outdoor pool.
I joined a gym today.
No.
Yes. Yes, oh. I put my PE kit on and I went on that machine that goes up and down like a steppy thing.
Oh, did you climb some stairs to get to the gym? Is that what happened? And then you thought, oh, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yes, no, it's not for me. It's not for me. Did you swim in the outside pool and the indoor pool?
I just went to the outdoor one because it was quite, well, it was, yeah, it's summer at the moment, isn't it, while we're recording this. And it was warm enough to go outside. It was lovely.
Oh, because you're so athletic.
Well, I went for my induction and then I went to... Yeah. Spirit class, which was fast yoga class. And I also went on the treadmill and then I thought, let's have a quick dip. Oh, and I went in the, what's it called? It's called a,
toilet.
A sanitarium or something, but not like, they're not looking after my head. It's basically a hotter steam room. I think that's what it is. So they have a sauna and a steam room and they have this thing in, I can't think if that's the right name, but.
Were you in the right place?
I was, yes.
Oh,
It was in the spa area.
Oh, it's very much like my house at the moment because we're going away for a week and so we've done a big wash. The heating is on. Everything is drying on the radiators and I'm sweating like a bastard.
That's your HRT, mate.
It is. Yeah. So I'll tell you what, though.
Are you about to do a nice little link into who
I was. I was going to say
it's
that...
Rob Rouse, isn't it?
It was Rob Rouse. He has the energy of a feral child.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? He's like a child. It's just joy and fun and, a delight.
Everything we could have asked for and more.
I'm going to start.
Oh, Sally, you start, mate. You start. I'm not going to argue with you. You're 50.
Yeah, man. Turned 50 a couple of weeks ago. We're here with Rob Rouse. Hello, Rob Rouse.
Hello.
Rob Rouse, who's actually just done some impressive farting with his armpits.
Well, there's a sound check. We had to sound check. And I like to do these things in a professional manner.
Yes, good.
I can't even say manner.
Will you do it again? Yes.
I turned the anchor version of Brian Sewer there.
I'd like to let the listeners know we haven't actually started drinking.
No, we haven't. I've got a cup of tea. This is my pre-drink drink.
Thank God, I've got a coffee on the go. And I was.
Oh.
I didn't. Cheers, girls.
Cheers.
I did feel the pressure to already be arsehole by the time we began.
No, Rob,
we are trying to slow down a little bit, in fact. We've spent lockdown. I mean, shit-faced is probably the best description.
I'm in it.
I went through my tax the other day and I looked at how much I've spent during the lockdown on the booze.
I thought you were about to not share it with us because it was so terrifying.
I could have bought a car.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have bought a car.
A car, though. I mean, like
probably a Robin Reliant. But a second,
that would be expensive these days, but a little rubbish one, maybe. Yeah. But you could have bought one.
I could have bought one. Yes. But Robert, have you got your beverage of choice with you now?
I can't remember when you texted me about this, mm-hmm. about the beverage of choice.
Is it going to be a problem?
There's not a problem.
Oh, I was thinking that you were going to go...
He's building up, isn't he?
Yeah.
But there's not... News. It's Shipyard Ale, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
Now, that's... So you've got that one. Which one have you got, Sal? Have you got the same one? Mine's in it already poured out.
Oh.
Have you been brewing your own Shipyard Ale?
No, I haven't brewed my own, but... I realised I don't have. I bought a. Mine was the. It's in a white can.
Oh.
So we might have. I think we've got a vaguely similar beer.
That's all right. I've never ever tried this.
I haven't.
I, to full transparency, I bought a box of 10. Right. Many months ago, and definitely not within the last 3 or 4 days, and they've all gone.
Gone.
Except for what's remaining there. And then I had this realisation when you'd asked me to say, what's your drink of choice? And I just said beer, and you said, which one? I said, oh, well, I quite like this one. That I don't know whether I like it.
Oh, no.
I don't know whether...
Well, that's the whole podcast gone. There you go. That's the whole podcast.
Bye, ladies.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Nice tight podcast, that one.
Yeah, let's have a little try, shall we?
See what you
this
think.
This isn't even the podcast anymore, though, officially. This is just us having a lovely chat.
Shipyard American IPA. I'm a fan of an IPA.
I like an IPA as well.
Cheers.
I'm smelling it. Cheers, I poured mine into a small glass, but I'm just smelling it to get
Have a sniff. What are you getting from it, Sal?
It's fruity. I'm getting fruits.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get that thing when you stick your nose into the bottle and it smells of farts?
No.
That could be your top lip, Lou.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Check your top lip for, matter from the bum end.
There's always matter from... Anyway, cheers.
Grains. Oh, I'm going to go in then. It was lovely.
All right. We'll have our slurp together.
Oh. Deep gold, it says on the side. Vibrant citrus hops.
Yeah, you get in the citrusy... Because that's very much the thing, isn't it, now with IPAs, or as they were called, India Pale Ales, which, as I understand, without being a bit too radio for,
yes.
The India Pale Ales tend to be a heavier hopped beer because the hops were part of the preservation of the beer for the sailors as they sailed to the Indies,
yes.
And it stopped the... Because it was safe for the drinking water, apparently.
Oh, so it's supposed to stop scurvy and all of that?
It stopped, so it's heavier hop to preserve it on the long journey.
I'm getting a taste of citrus and possibly a grapefruit.
And possibly some pine air freshener in there. You're getting a bit of that kind of...
It's 5%, which I'm surprised at.
What do you prefer, like a 13% barley wine? Is that what you're after?
No, I just thought...
get drunk on this, Rob.
I thought it would be lighter. 5% is sort of borderline chewy, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it is the 5% fulcrum with a beer is the danger area, isn't it? That's the kind of I believe the lighter ones are called session beers for people that drink them in a session of like maybe more than the government recommended number of beers.
Like having a sesh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Leo Sayer, like an all-dayer, kind of like... Yeah. Bleh,
it's
like
funny, actually. I just realised that talking about booze, I felt that little hang-up there of just, talking about government-recommended amounts and all those kind of things. And I always think it's an interesting thing with booze, isn't it? Like, the Bake Off doesn't say at the end of each episode, please only eat sweet treats, with moderation.
Yeah.
Like they're, as far as they're concerned, they're eating cakes all day, every day, aren't they, on the Bake Off? And but you have to mention something with alcohol if you go near it, don't you? On the TV, I'd say please drink responsibly.
We don't, Rob.
No, you don't. No, exactly.
We don't care. We're just
Yeah. You can lie to your doctor, though, can't you? I was just thinking that earlier. I was thinking you sounded as though when your doctor says to you, how much do you drink? And you go, oh, I'd say 4 units a week. No more than that. But actually,
yeah,
you have huge feshes, don't you?
We had Dr. Phil Hammond on, and he said, as long as you have 2 days off, you're fine.
You're golden. You're golden.
Dr. Phil Hammond does specialise with children, though, doesn't he? He's more of a...
Is he a paediatrician? Yeah. Is that what that is?
So as long as children have 2 days off.
Yes.
That's the best thing.
I think that's what he was telling us. Now, Rob,
I'll have a word with my two.
Please do. Yes.
If you can wake them up out of their drunken stupor, that would be great.
I don't want to go too near them because they're a bit violent when they're at that point. When they get, after about another 3 or 4, they'll be a bit more placatable. Yeah, exactly.
Predictable.
our beer, which I forgot to say earlier, is darker than yours, isn't it? Yours is a paler.
Yes, color. I think that the one in the white can is a paler one. Than the one in the blue bottle. But they're very similar.
Would you describe yours to us, the taste? Because I quite like the idea of that paler one.
That looks like a healthy urine sample, whereas ours looks like a hospital bedside one.
We haven't had water for
Mine tastes just like a warm urine sample.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. It's similarly hoppy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quite citrusy. Mm-hmm. That's what all of these beer are. They're hoppy. They're citrusy.
Grainy? Is there a grain in there?
There's a graininess. There's a slight earthiness.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's also fizzy.
Yeah.
Great.
Definitely fizzy and bubbly in my mouth.
I always think with these, like, you know, with the IPAs or whatever, are you supposed to serve them cold or chilled?
Oh,
or
it's a great question.
Are you supposed to have them... I mean, it's almost like I've thought about it. Yeah. I haven't.
I don't know the answer. Rob might.
Because some of them you have to have room temperature, don't you?
Well, that's the weird thing, isn't it? I once went to one of those beer festivals. Oh. And I don't know where you guys are in your relationship with Camra at the moment.
Yes, well,
I don't...
It's a craft ale.
Craft ale.
It sounds as though they've done something terrible, the way you're talking. Yeah.
I think is it craft ale men running away from their wives in brackets?
But that's exactly what it is.
That bit on the end, I think.
Yeah.
I thought the way you were dancing around it, I thought, is this a Wetherspoons thing that I haven't even heard about? No. This is
the campaign for real ale or something. Right. They're like a quite. I think they're.
Is it quite male then? Is that what
it's? It's not really a chick fest at those things. Do you know what I mean?
Once again, dancing around it, weren't you?
Yeah. It's a proper, it's a proper beer gut sausage party. Let's be honest.
Oh my God, that's I'm going. I am going.
I can't believe Lou hasn't been.
I have. They used to have the Camera festivals in Reading when I lived down that way. Oh, I'd be a regular. Yeah, but not anymore. Now I'm old. And
great big sausage fest.
You have to lift the beer guts up to find the sausages.
Yeah.
But if you can,
are not really invited.
Listen, if you've a keen nose,
I think women
are
probably put
can...
off by the smell. I would imagine.
Oh, I wouldn't be. I've had some right raw ones in the past. I'm not bothered.
Yeah, but Lou, you're not really a woman, are you?
No.
But I mean, you know, you're sort of, you know, you've got
a beast.
Yes, that's the one I'm looking for.
A force of nature. You're like an element.
I am.
There is rock. There is gas. Yeah. There is liquid. There is...
Hot fire. Fire.
The one in between, fire, exactly. Yeah. And then there is Conran.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
exactly. You feel and hear her before you see her.
And quite often smell.
People have written songs about her. They give thanks for her, but she can also devastate a village.
Oh, I can.
You know what I mean? She can just wreak havoc even through a community. Yeah.
Oh, and I have, Rob. I have.
You can lay waste to countless souls again and again.
Which is why she's allowed into the Camera Beer Fest.
Yes, exactly. Rob, Robert of Rouse, what was your training drink when you were growing up?
My training drink when I was growing up, I remember was my dad always used to have because we grew up in a village. Christmas morning was always drinks at our house.
Oh, great!
And I remember I used to quite like that because I liked because my dad's a very, very sociable kind of character. And so I think growing up with that, it was always quite, there was a sense of occasion on Christmas morning. And I liked everyone came over and my dad would always get in a barrel of Robinson's, which is a brewery in Stockport near us, and of their, like, whatever their best bitter is. And it would be in a garage and it would have a tap on it.
Great.
And I remember that's probably where the problems began. I'm on it. You just that it was there, and it was there through Christmas. And when I sort of was a teenager then, or maybe probably 13, you can have a half. You can have a half. And then,
I think that's great, though.
You can lie under the tap, Rob.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, if we were in France, you'd be positively encouraged to do that.
Absolutely, yes. So, and I think, and then also, I'd see my mum and dad at 6 o'clock every day, have a gin and tonic, with absolute, you could set your watch by it every single day. So I think I grew up very much in that era of habitual drinking that was just sort of the norm. Little drinks cabinet, full of all horrific spirits. And then when people's mums and dads would go out, we'd hit the cabinets
and
find out what Pernod, how much Pernod you could drink, all those kind of things. Or how Pernod, much
Cinzano.
Yes, yeah. Cinzano.
Dubonnet and lemonade.
Dubonnet,
ginger wine. Ginger wine.
I don't think I've ever tried ginger wine.
Haven't you?
No.
Di Serrano.
Like that. Love
it. It's all the stuff that puts socks on your teeth, isn't it? All that.
Yeah.
It's like you're rebuilding your enamel in a way with all the sugar and all the claggy spirits.
Absolutely. It's the stuff you end up drinking right at the end of a party when everything else has run out.
On those Christmas days, though, Christmas morning, who came? Was it the whole village would come? Is that what?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so like friends and just mates in the village, and then I can always remember my mum would be slightly stressed because, like, the turkey might get overdone because they'd often spill out into the early afternoon.
I was going to say, did they slightly overstay their welcome, or did they go when the barrel was empty?
Well, no, I mean, I think to be fair, my dad was always encouraging people to stay. That was the kind of the push pull of having a very sociable dad and a mum who really wanted to get the turkey out.
In our village, it's a tiny village where I'm from, but there's every pub, you got your first drink free on Christmas Day, and there was nine pubs in the village. Ooh. So in every pub they did that. So you could just go for a little tour of the village and just be shitted by the time you got home for free, which was a bonus.
Whereabouts did you grow up, Lou?
In a village called Stoke-on-Church.
Stoke-on-Church.
Yes, Junction 5, M40, Buckinghamshire, thank you, where they bred the red kites.
Lovely. Yes. And how about you, Sal? Where did you grow up?
Well, just to say, my friend Andy Hagen also grew up in the same village as Lou. But anyway, I grew up in a little village in Oxford called Cumnor, but we used to go around to the Bear and Ragged Staff in the village on Christmas morning, and they'd put like a great big Stilton on the bar. Massive one, and knives there, and you could just help yourself to the Stilton. Wouldn't do it now with sharing spit and knives, would you? But then get a big hunk of that, and then
it's amazing. That phrase, isn't it?
Proper village boozer. Yeah, I just think because we had one in our village where I grew up. It was called the Harrington Arms, and it was run by Mrs. Bailey, who's now long since departed, but I think it's still in the family, and she. It was like the slaughtered lamb in American Wealth in London.
Yeah,
it's like that, but had it not been done up, that's how it was literally a stone floor pub. with a little room at the side and then the bar and then a very odd room in the back that I once went in by accident when I was looking for the toilet. And that was like a room that Mrs. Bailey sat in with this really old kind of range, like oven with lots of doors on it and with cats in it.
Ah.
And a like a heater and an oven bit and cat, and it was, and there was cat shit everywhere.
Oh.
There was always kittens and cat shit everywhere. And you go in and there would be, and it was absolute, you open the door and everyone would just like look up at the bar. But you could drink there underage as a kid.
Brilliant.
And you just said,
there you go.
And if she knew your dad, she'd give you a half, but you Brilliant. Had to just hide. Like you just kind of, yeah.
Oh,
and there was
Bailey.
Pies on the, there were pies on Ooh, the.
Covered
on
in
the,
cat hair and.
In
cat.
A plastic, yeah, thing that no one dared go near.
No.
And pickled legs. And I remember once, I think my mum went in there and asked for gin and tonic.
I thought you were going to say she asked where I was.
Mrs. Sorry. Bailey said, what? And she said, we don't serve none of them poncy drinks in here.
What did they serve?
Beer.
Just beer.
Just
that
beer.
Was it, just beer. And I think maybe cider as well. We don't serve none of them poncy drinks in here. And I think someone said, Mrs. Bailey, there's a bottle of gin at the back there. And she went, what? And she kind of got it out and against all of her better judgment.
Blowing it off.
Poured one out. And she'd horrified by it.
She had to mix it with beer, though.
Yeah, she was incredibly unwelcoming. Like, just, but for some reason, the pub hung on. It just,
I love that. Maybe she kept the cats in the kitchen just in case there were kids there as a kind of, oh, well, let's placate the kids. They can play with the cats.
Yeah, and the just, cat shit and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. Don't get me started on cat shit, Rob. I'm having a war with a cat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I won't go into too many details, but suffice to say, the war is real. I've currently got 150 cocktail sticks sticking up in my front patch of soil. I've got bottles
That's
of water.
What she calls it.
Yeah, I've got bottles of water. I've got fresh coffee grounds all over the fucking place. I've got citronella candles. And do you know what? That cat has shat on every single candle. It's shat on the cocktail sticks. It's shat in every, by the bottles of water, by the mirror. But
I'll be honest, I'm on the cat's side.
What? Well, you would be. You yeah. would be, Sally.
Yeah.
You would
I think
be.
That cat sounds like a proper legend of a cat. Like,
yeah, the more obstacles you put in its way, yeah. the more it's going to come over and take a dump in your garden. Perhaps if you take everything away, it'll take away the temptation.
Well, maybe.
It's shit in your place.
Alan Cochran, the comedian Alan Cochran, lovely, texted me the other day and said, apparently cats don't like cucumbers. I put cucumber out in the garden, shat by the side of it.
Do you know what, Lou? It would be a lot easier on you if you just like got a little trowel and just moved the shit.
Well, I do! Sorry.
Yeah, but without all the rest of the stuff. Like, I mean.
Anyway.
I feel like I've come in like this is a big saga that you've been dealing with for a while, Sal. I've come in like season 15 of Lou's cat shit saga.
It's just, I've known her for so long, and as soon as she starts on some sort of rampage, I just. I mean,
sorry.
I was actually going to make my excuses and go to the loo then.
But... anyway.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll plough on. I'm a professional.
So, yeah, can I ask, are the cocktail sticks, so they're like to potentially impale the cat if it tries
to shit? I don't want to harm the cat. to the listener that might be, you know, cat friendly. But it's just a deterrent, you know.
You just want to kind of maim it. In the anal area, so it doesn't shit in your
garden.
Who
hasn't enjoyed a cocktail stick up their ass when they've been drunk, Rob?
Hey!
And talking of which, have you got any decent drunk stories you want to share with us?
None whatsoever, Your Honour. Thanking you.
I love that you said decent drunk stories as well. Like, you've already given him some guidelines.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard, you know, it's... I mean, there's obviously ones that I can't remember.
Right, of yes. Course. Yeah.
There was... There's a whole New Year's Eve that was lost. A lost New Year's Eve because of tequila that I can't drink anymore because it always makes me throw up now.
Set the scene. So how old were you and where were you?
Actually, it's quite good. I was 18 or 19.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my sister, who was then at university, went down to a mate's place in Northampton. So older sister's mates.
Oh.
Or maybe I was 17 or maybe 16. I might have been 16. Anyway, I went to this New Year's Eve in Northampton and it was tequila slammers started happening. And then I remember kneeling on a toilet. And then I remember suddenly, pow, I was in central London. And from round in the toilet over a toilet in Northampton, honking my guts out, suddenly, kapow, I was in central London and I was wearing a granddad shirt and a woolen waistcoat.
What?
And the metropolis was my oyster. And it really felt like New Year's Eve because it was busy. I'd never seen so many people in my life. And I think I was sick a lot more times, but there's a definite gap in my memory from the toilet in Northampton to being in Piccadilly Circus.
Whose clothes were you wearing?
I think they were mine.
Okay.
Mine. Yeah,
so you hadn't stolen them en route.
No, they were mine, and I think they would have had sick on them. But by then, I was flying again. And
yeah.
And I was,
whether it was car, train. I wonder how you got there. To London.
No idea.
The good on your own.
Sure it was... Because the idea was that we were having pre-match drinks in Northampton, then getting on the train and going to central London. But I just had... So obviously the group of people that are with my sister's friends, they made sure I got into central London. Well, they couldn't leave me to die in the house and then go out for New Year's Eve in London. So I was obviously taken along and I kind of woke up in London. Yeah.
I'm more disturbed. Sorry, go on.
But they took you. Nobody thought, perhaps we better not go. They were like, ruining our plans.
Yeah.
He's coming with us.
The weirdo in a waistcoat. That's what I'm bothered about. The fact that you were wearing a waistcoat.
Oh, it was the 1950s. Come on.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
it was,
there is
that. It was. I mean, fashion-wise, it was a really tricky time for me. I mean, I've never truly found my look. If I'm
honest,
you're
a double denim man, though, aren't you?
Oh, you are.
I default to a double denim or a triple if I need to kind of overwhelm with denim.
Oh, what's the triple then?
Shirt, jacket.
Denim jacket.
And then, the shirt and the trout. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love a denim bag, and then I could go quadruple.
Denim shirt. And a denim hat.
Denim hat, you go sextuple denim.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Shaken Stevens, did he have... Anyway, doesn't matter. I was thinking...
Shaken, to give him his first name, he always had... I remember he had these incredible white shoes that weren't quite trainers, but they also weren't quite shoes.
Oh.
And I scoured Macclesfield Market asking for some Shaken Stevens shoes and no one had any.
No. Maybe he had them personally made.
I don't think he got them from Macclesfield Outdoor Market did he?
No.
The Tuesday man did. He did shoes and pants, but I don't think he did Shaken Stevens shoes or pants.
He was down in Oxford on a Wednesday.
Was he?
Yeah.
The Wednesday man. He did do his shoes and pants. He got around, didn't he?
Round by where the ice rink is now. Anyway.
It's mad. I was thinking in the world of, you know, like Amazon and online retail and high street stores, we used to get everything from the outdoor market.
Yeah.
That's, All the veg, all the food.
All the bargains.
Bargains, yeah. All of the if my mum didn't make the clothes, we got them from the Tuesday Man, you know, at Mac Market. Incredible.
Different times, isn't it?
They don't know they're fucking born now, kids, do they? And they don't like a pint. They're all saving their money for after university or whatever the fuck they want to do.
Fuck them. Fuck them. Yeah. Yeah. So were you regularly drinking with your sister then? I know she was at uni, but which.
Well, I think it was a bit of that portal, wasn't it, of having an elder sibling where, you know, you'd. And it was an opportunity to grow up a bit more, to pretend you're a bit older. And fancied her mates and all those kind of things, you know.
Did you ever date any of them?
Or at least.
No, I think might have had a kiss. There might have been a kiss, but I can't remember because I was probably so.
Did your sister know that you might have kissed one of her mates or she didn't care?
She probably both of those. She probably knew and then didn't care.
Yeah. One of my friend fancied my brother and I said to her, "You're not going out with my brother." That was the end of it.
International law kicked in and, the whole thing was embargoed.
Wow. Oh, Sally, you could have stopped. God, a whole different world could have happened for
he's
your
got
brother.
A lovely wife and he's very happy, but I just thought, no, that's not happening. You're my mate and he's my brother. Worlds do not collide.
Yeah, don't do it.
No. When you used to go out with your blokey mates, though, what was there like? Sort of like, what was the drinks of choice there? Was it always beer? Did you ever have sophisticated drinkies with your chums?
I've never like been a wine. Do you know, like been into wine?
Right.
You really must get into wine.
Nah.
You really must. Have you tried this wine? And I've got to that point where I suppose I'm one of those people that I understand the difference between a £5 bottle of wine and maybe a £12 bottle of wine. But then I still wait to see the yellow sticker in the co-op of that one. It's like everything. If we're told it was £12 and then it is £6, we go, well, that's a £12 bottle of wine. But it was a £6 bottle of wine, wasn't it? But I don't know. But I've had... So sometimes I think wine can be really horrible.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's too strong. And if you're thirsty, it's a very bad drink to drink.
Well, you're not going to... Yeah, you shouldn't be sort of like knocking it back. Like
No, exactly. And I sometimes like the taste of a bit of wine. Like if you go out for a nice meal and you say... And the waiter will say, you know, what's a nice glass of wine to have with something? And then you can get caught up in all the bullshit of, it's earthy and it's got notes of this, of sandalwood and turpentine and deep heat. And that goes perfectly with the pork. And then you can have the pork and enjoy, you know, all those sensations and tell yourself that you understood everything that you were told. Yeah. Sometimes it just gives me a headache or just it's a bit clarty, isn't it, red wine?
Yeah.
Or it just,
you get furry tongue, furry teeth, furry everything, and you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I think generally, you know, I'm now 47 and...
Rob, can't believe it.
I know, I look 57 and I have growing children.
Yeah.
So I think...
That's what they do.
Also, it's unbelievable. But also, this is the one that I think is interesting. Helen, my wife Helen, stopped boozing altogether in February 2020 in the anus horribilis. But not because of the anus horribilis. She just decided she was going to stop.
Wow, I wonder what that's like.
This is my only chance to drink with another lady.
Right, come on, get it down.
But it has been very interesting. So my relationship with booze has definitely changed the last few years, and maybe the last 5 years. Sort of, I've actually looked at it because when we started doing the first time I recorded Upstart Crow, I lived with Marcus Brigstock and he very kindly said you can come and stay with me, and he doesn't drink, doesn't do anything because he went through all of it. Like you probably know his story, or he tells it much better himself, but he went through recovery at the age of about 17, 18.
Oh, right.
For everything, for everything. He's done some brilliant programs about it, probably on the iPlayer. And so he doesn't drink. So I thought, while I'm living there, I'll try not to drink during the day. Yeah, I'll make an effort not to drink during the day around him. Is that a Freudian slip? But regarding booze and your booze as your mum and you like your mum in a weird way. That's a Boozian slip. Anyway, so that failed. So I thought, right, I'll not drink at his house. And also I thought, because I'd not done any acting or anything like that for a long time. I didn't want to fuck it up, and I wanted to try and do the best I could. So I thought, I'll give myself a chance. I'll have some drinks at the recording night after we've finished. But then the next day you're banging, rehearsing the next one. You can't do it with a hangover. Yeah. Well, or you can, but it's hard work.
Yeah.
So I thought, while I'm at Brigstocks, I won't booze. And so that gave me, I realised the first time maybe in my adult life, 3 or 4 dedicated days a week with regularity that I didn't have at least one drink. And I think that's the thing I've noticed as I've got older, is I'd always have at least one drink. Like even if I got in at 2 a.m. from a gig and I'd driven home, I'd have one just before I went to bed. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing for me was entirely habitual. And I put it back to 6 o'clock, mum and dad.
Yeah, it's their fault. Blame them.
And it's so ingrained in our culture as well, isn't it? It's completely in the fabric of everything, and it's social event or pressure or whatever. Have a drink. And I realise that if I'm happy, I love having a drink. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not happy, I have to not have a drink, definitely. It's a depressant, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've just realised that we've started this recording at 6 o'clock, so that might have taken you back to like all of those memories to your mum and dad having the gin and tonic. I'm sorry. We should have.
Oh, I'm just lying back on the couch now. Yeah.
Oh.
And we've taken you all the way. We've taken you all the way back to that pub and everything, haven't we?
Go back to a primal howl.
it's like Lou's appearing.
But now you can rebuild me from scratch.
Okay, Rob, come. You're back in the room. Here he is.
Rob, have you got more drunk stories as well as your sister? Well as the kapow.
Drunk stories. I remember. I remember whole Edinburgh festivals. Where obviously
you remember them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I remember the everything up to the show, and then after the shows, because I've never been able to perform when I've had a drink. I can't, my brain doesn't work at all. But certainly in those early days, just the level of, I suppose it's nerves, isn't it? It's nerves. Mm-hmm. And then like dealing with adrenaline afterwards, mm-hmm. just the nights were insane. They always go on until 6, 7 in the morning. And I remember one whole festival, just I constantly get attacked by Lee Mack. Like he'd leap out and we'd start fighting. But pinching and biting, fighting.
Oh, I'd paid money to watch that.
It could come from anywhere, and he'd launch an attack like Kato. I remember attacking me at the Universal party, attacking me. Just every time he'd just attack me, we'd end up pinching and biting each other, rolling around. But
that's a show on its own, though.
It was fun.
Oh, God.
Rolling around with each other.
It's just fighting.
Random bar.
It was insane.
That's so lovely.
Oh, dear.
I remember going to parties at the Edinburgh Festival. They always used to give you free packets of cigarettes. I mean, all parties anywhere in the country. It wasn't just there. It was just these kind of corporate parties, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? It was the Marlboro Lights girls, wasn't it?
Yeah, or the Camel girls as well. I remember those. And just all of a sudden, you've got about 4 packets of 20 fags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you turn up not smoking and you go and like coughing up 60 a day. Yeah, not lovely. Not anymore. More,
we're much more protected these days.
I'll tell you what. Actually, I don't know whether there's any link, but I've just forgotten to do a shout out to one of our Patreons, Rob.
Go on.
Her name's Jenny Mayo. Jenny Mayo. Jenny.
M-A-Y-O-W.
Jenny.
Pronounce that.
Jenny Mayo. Do you think it's Jenny trash. That's shitting in my garden? Jenny Meow Meow.
It could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
If the email starts, Ray, the cocktail stick currently sticking out of my bottom, it is.
Rob, so you've said that you've had your IPA in the fridge, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Once you've drunk all of those, will you be off replacing them with a different IPA or a different lager?
Well, I enjoyed some San Miguel when we were watching the football.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of very pleasant holidays in Spain with Helen when we were first started stepping out and karting.
Oh, that's nice. Were you like when you first started dating and that?
Yes.
Like, what did you ever embarrass yourself drunkenly in front of your lady?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We did. We both did. But we used to when we started before we're actually officially stepping out in car.
Oh yes, yes.
back in day.
Yes.
We met in a shared house in Wimbledon at the time, and there was a snooker hall called
Sally.
Breaks.
Lovely.
In Southfields, and me and Helen used to go and play snooker.
It's a hard game.
Yeah. But
when you're trying to flirt as well.
Yeah, but there's all the bending over the table.
There's a lot of bending.
Yeah.
So I'd constantly be bending over the table and making sure Helen could see the top of me bum crack.
And Rob's trying to sort of like, you know, give her the wink going, I'm potting the brown.
Yeah, I don't really quite know how to do this. So she'd have to come behind me like Kevin Costner and go, "How you doing, you daft bastard, right?" And I go, "Oh, your hands are everywhere, Helen. What? You know, just fucking concentrate. Pop the ball, right? You'll never learn to play snooker proper." So there was lots of that and stuff. But we also used to drink. We invented our own drink that we called Turbo Shandy, which was half a lager with a bottle of Smirnoff Ice in it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Turbo Shandy. That's what we used to call it. And we used to drink those.
You told us that we could have had that here.
I used to sprawl across the table hoping Helen would get off with me.
and did it work?
It eventually did.
How many Turbo Shandies did it take for her to give in to your snooker playing ways?
Maybe 4,500, but she has very high tolerance.
She's quite little, isn't she?
But Helen stopped boozing. She used to, I remember, and then when we eventually moved into a flat in Crystal Palace, if Helen went out to go and see her mates and she'd get the train in, I'd always have to stay up because when Helen used to get pissed, one of her eyes used to close.
I've got
And she used to just focus on you with one eye when she was lining up. Where you going, you bastard? And it's an accurate impression, isn't it? I ate that duck. and so she used to fall asleep on the train.
And then I get one eye open.
Yeah, then I get a phone call about 1:30. I said, "I'm walking up in Orpington. I'm in Orpington." And I say, "Oh, I got to get in the... No, I've started walking back." And I say, "Stay where you are. Just go to the police. I've started walking back." I hear that duck. And I go after... Because I have to go and drive and go and find her somewhere in Orpington. Or she just... Other times. And there was once when I'd fallen asleep. And she just walked home all the way from Orpington.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
I like Helen a lot. I've only met her once, but I like her a lot.
And she walked, and I said, and we tracked it back. Like, we could do it now. It's something like 7 miles.
God, yeah. With one eye.
One eye marching, I bet.
Marching up the main road.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to approach her, are they, when she looks like Mad-Eye Moody?
Yeah. But yeah, it was astonishing. But yeah, but she doesn't drink at all now. She stopped. Oh,
and how is that for you then? Is that a bit weird?
Yeah, I did. I've coped. I've coped.
Good, good.
I've coped. Don't worry, I've still been able to enjoy.
Good. Good.
Is she missing it?
Responsibly. I don't think she doesn't miss it at all. No.
Oh. Let's imagine you've got a spittoon in front of you. Okay.
Yes.
And it's full of the dregs of somebody else's drinky poos, right?
Mm.
Whose spittoon would you drink?
Whose would I drink?
Yeah.
Is that based on like kind of, you know, it's a bit like the, you know, whose wouldn't be the most offensive to drink?
You can have whoever you want. We've had all sorts. So.
Okay. And how long have they been spittooning into it?
I think you're asking too many questions.
Is it
here.
Fresh? So how much is in the spittoon?
Oh, it's like, you can say it's fresh, I reckon.
Is it like a pint of spat out beer?
It could be whatever you want. It's
half
just
a pint or a pint, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who?
But it's just one person or a group of the people.
Oh, no, it's not like Bukkake. Come on, let's. Who's one? Who's spittoon? Just one person.
Oh, she's getting impatient.
Yeah. It's the HRT, Sally. Sorry.
I can tell.
Are you on the HRT, Lou?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you hot now or cold?
Aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the IP.
And how do we spot those episodes? I'm just gonna. How do we tell if they're?
She wears a blue and black top. That's what happens.
Yeah, like a lizard.
Like yeah.
It's emitting a poison. Don't try and eat it, otherwise you'll get very, very sick.
Oh, she's going to drama school.
Yeah, thanks.
Either of yours, girls. Either of your spittoons. I'd be absolutely
have
fine.
Have Sally's. Mine's putrid. I went drinking with Andy Askins on Saturday night, and I am surprised I'm still alive. So there you go.
Does he go at it hard, Andy Askins?
Andy Askins is a comedian, for the listeners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very funny man.
And his entire family. And me and my gentleman caller, the wonderful Edward Brimson, we stayed up till 4:45 in the morning. And then we had to drive to Wales. But anyway.
Oh, lovely.
So go
on.
And Andy lives in Holland.
Lives in Holland. So you're going to have Sally's spittle. There we go.
Yeah, in for a penny, in for a pound. You do the podcast, you drink the slops.
It's kind of there well thought out, yeah, though, isn't it? Because you are going to be drinking the beer that you chose.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's not...
Exactly. It's the perfect crime.
Yeah.
I also do make my own beer, but I just wish I'd had... If I'd had a 10-week run-up, I could have brewed one and furnished you. Maybe, you know, I don't know how often you have people on if they don't talk about farts and burping too much. But I could do a special spit or swallow brew, and then we could have a live tasting of it.
Oh
yes, we'd love that.
That's in the diary now.
Writing that down. Home brew with Rouse.
In the meantime, we have to decide if the three of us decide if this is a spit or a swallow. It's the IPA Shipyard American Portland, Maine, USA. That's what Lou and I have got, and Rob is swallowing his at the moment. His slightly paler version. So Lou, is it a spit or a swallow?
That's definitely a swallow for me. In fact, that's two swallows. I've really enjoyed that. Yeah, I like it. I like that very much. Yes.
I'm going to say spit because it's... I know. I'm ever so sorry. I know. Look at you.
But you are very, very classy, Lady Sally, and maybe having to drink beer was a bit like making you watch ITV.
ITV 2.
Yeah.
Channel
5.
Don't mind that, but I think there's other ales I like more, that's all. Like Gem, for example, I think a little bit more than this, but that's fine. Now I know.
Well
I've realised I go through cycles like with the flavours that I like, so that the hoppy ones, like sometimes you go, oh yeah, I fancy the hoppy kind of, and then you have too much of them and they taste a bit like you're eating, drinking, washing up liquid.
Yeah.
And then I go back to a malty.
Yeah,
a sweeter malty, maybe a darker beer.
Yes,
a porter even.
Oh, I love a plum porter.
Or a ruby ale, something like that.
Is it a spit or a swallow from you though? At the moment, given that you go through phases, how is your Shipyard IPA at the moment?
Well, I've swallowed it. Oh, right. It's too late. It's 10, gone.
Didn't you?
Yeah. It's gone. But yes, it's very pleasant. I think it's very amenable pint available at my local co-op.
Oh, well.
There are other supermarkets available.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!